On our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE, we're here to talk about all the things that go along with the Richland School District and all the things that are good. And we are here with Steve Board, who comes in today with maybe a little bit different title. Have you got the new title yet?
A little bit. It's a little shorter now.
Is it dropped
the adjective of interim. So,
so district administrator then, or... Is that?
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So officially on July 1st. And of course, we had a lot of changes that took effect on July 1st with Ryan Lemke and Liz Perkins becoming co-principals and John Bosworth becoming the official business official for our district. And so a lot of those changes all took effect on July 1, and we're ready to start a new fiscal year.
Indeed. And people that have worked in the district before and, love the district and things like that?
Yeah. Anytime that you get an opportunity to promote from within, it shows great growth and opportunity for the folks that are working in our district. But the learning curve, every school district is a little unique. And so the learning curve for what it's like in our culture and climate is just accelerated because everybody's familiar with those, the ins and outs and how things work for us. So John moving down to the district office and Ryan and Liz taking over, the high school along with Laura Selgeby as activities director. There's so much familiarity there, and they've got the internal supports right there. John will have me right down the hallway if he has questions about things that I did in the business official role. Liz and Ryan will have John down the other end of the building, and all of these internal supports come into play that I just think are so valuable and make our team really special.
And your job, does it change a little bit?
Well, I think that I think it will lessen from the standpoint that I won't have my thumb on every single line item of the budget. I still have to work very closely with John, as Jared and I did when I was business official and he was district administrator, to know everything, what do we have available for us from in terms of resources. But that day-to-day calculations and staying on top of the budget, John will be able to do that now with our business office, and that'll relieve a little bit of time. So I won't be putting in quite so many days, but also be able to reallocate some of that time to bigger district-wide things, get out in the buildings a little bit more, see more people, and do some of those things that I think are so important. But when you're pulling two jobs, they're just very difficult to do.
I think that's important to get out and see all grade levels and, visit classrooms and things like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's at every level. It's being able to visit your maintenance department and do some rounding with them, your food service department, your IT department, spend some time with the busing company and see some of the struggles and issues and challenges that they may be facing that we're not aware of. Get inside the classrooms themselves and actually see our teachers doing great things. And, that's always a little bit of a challenge to try to make sure that the teachers understand and staff know that I'm not there to evaluate them. I'm not there to check up on them. I truly just want to see some of the great things that they're doing, because we have some wonderful, wonderful people in our school district, and getting an opportunity to just see some of those things and then really try to take advantage of the internal employees that we have and connect them with other employees and kind of a peer-to-peer mentoring program and those kinds of things, I think is really special. In addition to, I need to really focus on trying to provide better community partnerships and trying to get out in the community and doing those kinds of things as well. I think good, efficient district administrators are able to have those connections from all the employees from within, but also external. And that's certainly a goal of mine that I'm going to try to focus on this first year.
I learned something many years ago going to schools is if you want to know what's going on in the school and kind of get some help behind the scenes, you go right to the custodial staff.
Isn't that the truth?
They know what's going on.
Custodial staff, receptionists, they know everything. And you think about the number of people that those folks interact with on a daily basis, both from internally and externally. And, no wonder we say that kind of tongue in cheek, but really there is a lot of truth to the fact that they just have a lot of interactions. And when you have a lot of interactions, you get a really good feel of the pulse of different topics and things that are going on.
School board meeting last night, anything that you took from that or you'd like to talk about, Steve?
Yeah, one of the big things that I think that came out of last night's school board meeting, this has been a culmination of about a year-long process, is that we have now really identified some goals and priorities for the 23-24 school year. And maybe I'll back up just a little bit. A few years ago, back around 2017-18, our school district undertook a strategic planning process, and they involved a lot of community members. There were a lot of workshops and different things that took place between staff and community and district leadership, and they came up with as many school districts do, some goals and priorities that they thought were important for our school district to take on. We are a public school, and therefore the stakeholders of our community really should determine what our school looks like, right? And so having this kind of strategic planning process, I think, was really important for us. I think that the problem that we had at that particular time was we identified 14 goals. And the next step that many school districts do at that point is they narrow that down and say, here are the, you know, 3 to 5 that we're going to focus on this year. And we ended up trying to focus on all 14 of them. And the analogy that I use, if you take a page out of a book and you start highlighting, if you highlight every word, nothing stands out anymore, right? It all just becomes highlighted in yellow. And so we ended up not putting an emphasis on any of those 14 and just tried to do all of them. And it was, you know, I don't think that anybody could argue that any of the 14 were good goals, but we ended up not really making real progress in any of them. And so one of the things that I was trying to do with our board over the last year was let's redefine what our priorities and goals are for the next school year. And the board should help determine the outcomes, and then the administration determines how to implement and how to get to those outcomes. And so last night was kind of the culmination of a year-long process where we really identified what our top 4 goals for 23-24 are. And so our number one goal that we'll be focusing on for 23-24 is connection with students and trying to make sure that we have all of the students in the Richland School District feel welcomed, respected, that they have a good, positive connection with an adult, and that we really try to promote that connection, the mental health aspect of students. We know that there were a lot of students that suffered mentally after the pandemic, and we want to try to make sure that they have the supports within the school district that they have. So that'll be our number one priority that we have. Number two will be the continuing attraction and retention of high-quality staff. And so by really focusing on recruiting high-quality staff and retaining them, and that's not always about pay, but pay certainly comes into play, right? You have to be competitive in what you're paying. I think we've gotten to that point now, but now what are we going to do from a culture and climate to make sure that we are attracting and retaining high quality staff and making the Richland School District the school district of envy? And then number three, to really, I'm losing track here. I don't have my notes on the goals. Do you happen to have the third goal here?
I think I might have the minutes from last night's meeting. So up at the top.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank here. I might have to come back to that one. I should have all these goals like written out here. Effectiveness of students in terms of the RTI process,
sure.
And discipline and those kinds of things as well. So I think, you know, that when we establish goals, and we've got a lot more to do and work on when it comes to what actually makes up those different components, that'll be key for us to take the next step. But then really, what are our outcomes and how are we going to get there? And then this will allow us to, oftentimes in school districts, I think we talked about this at the last time I was on the air, school districts, because of the financial restraints that they have, are often forced by choosing right versus right. You know, we have two really, really good things that we want to do, but we don't have the money to be able to do both. By setting goals and priorities and aligning them and ranking them, we will now have a way to say, okay, both of these are really important, but this is our top goal. This meets our top goal. And this one, while important, is just going to have to wait another year. And so I just think we're on a good pathway to be able to identify these things and be able to continue to move forward and really have a productive 23-24 school year.
An announcement about ESSER funds as well, and how do those work for you?
Yeah, so we actually took the approach that so when ESSER dollars came out after the pandemic, the Richland School District had just over $4 million in ESSER funds that were allocated for them, but they were earmarked for specific things. They had to be what was called an allowable cost. And so we took the approach of really trying to claim all of our ESSER dollars this past year. And so we actually don't have any more true ESSER dollars available. But what we did was we used that and found allowable cost for them, claimed that money in advance, and then we have that sitting in our fund balance, and now the school district can use that for things that they deem important that maybe weren't allowable under the claim of ESSER, but now we can shift that money around. And it also allowed us to put put some of that money into our local government investment pool, which translate into about $150,000 in interest earned on that revenue that we were able to get as well. So, you know, that's the equivalent of another teacher with benefits and maybe even a little bit more than that. So I think trying to be financially responsible in the way we manage our money is important as well.
Hard decisions to make, and obviously operating a school is expensive. Things go up. You mentioned salaries and whatnot. Lots of things to kind of think about as you look at the deficit and the money that you have available.
Yeah, you know, I've often told our board, you know, we, and we're not unique in this capacity, but, you know, we have the ability and the amount of money to do just about anything that we want to do, but we don't have the money to do everything we want to do. And school districts have a limited amount of money. And the state budget sounds like, you know, we're going to get some additional supports from the state. So that's certainly going to help not only the Richland School District, but many school districts in rural and across the state of Wisconsin with the per pupil increase. But we were lagging behind. School districts were lagging behind for, you know, decades on keeping up with cost of inflation, and they were all forced to do one of two things, or a combination of the two. They were either forced to go to referendum for more money, or they were forced to cut programming, you know, or reduce staff or reduce what they were able to offer. And those are both difficult, right? Those are difficult decisions. You go to referendum and you have, you know, property tax, you know, implications that gets assessed onto the public. And if you, you know, cut staff or cut programming or reduce what you're able to offer, then that directly affects the students that you have. And so school districts were really in quite a conundrum. The state budget will help a little bit, but certainly doesn't make up for the gap. I think I saw that if the school districts from the year 2000 to 2023, if the state were to just have kept up with the cost of inflation, CPI, we're about $4,000 behind per student. Okay, and this year the state gave us $325. So $325 is welcomed per student, but $4,000 per student is just where we would need to be to just keep up with the cost of inflation. So when we're a district like us, where we're trying to attract and retain, you know, quality staff, and we're trying to get all of our employees to a competitive market value from a pay standpoint, we have some difficult decisions to make when it comes to that. So again, kind of come in full circle, having some goals and priorities for the district, I think, is important, because we'll be able to allocate those resources, time, people, and money, all to the things that we've deemed as the top priorities for the district.
We think about summertime being downtime, but I think the district and all of your employees, I think they're probably more busy this year than ever, aren't they, it seems?
Boy, the last few weeks, you know, and now into the new fiscal year is very busy internally. You know, I know that I've got a couple of kids, you know, and they're at home, and, you know, they're going to the pool and doing all the things that kids do on quote-unquote summer break, but there really is no summer break in the school district when it comes to the folks that are still working. As we wrap up our fiscal year on June 30th, and we've got all of the end of the year things that we've got to kind of, you know, culminate and come to a head, and then we're gearing up for next year. I was just prior to coming here this morning, I was just, you know, getting ready for our getting the agenda ready for our admin meeting tomorrow morning, on Wednesday morning, and you know, one of the topics on there was super registration, and that's coming up on August 9th, you know, and it was just like, it seemed like we just got out of school and now we're already preparing for super registration, and what are we going to do next year, and how can we you know, improve on a really good super registration last year, but even make it better this coming year. And so we've already kind of turned the page to the 23-24 school year, and we're just really trying to get everything ready and lined up.
We've had some of your staff on, Emily Dolan, who does a great job, and, you know, kind of highlighting those things. But I know a huge computer upgrade has been going on as well.
Yeah, we're really taking this summer, and we're doing kind of a district rebranding. And so Emily has been a major part of that. We're really trying to unify the district in terms of not only what we offer within the buildings, but also what we're presenting to the public outside. And so, you know, we are doing a complete website overhaul that Emily has taken the initiative on, and that's coming to fruition here. And we're hoping that we'll be able to launch that here in the next couple of weeks. I think people will find it to be much more intuitive and user-friendly. One of the complaints that we've gotten on our current website is it's hard to find things. It's hard to know where to go. And so we really did a deep dive audit into what people are looking for on a website and where to find things. And so we just came up with about 20 different questions, ranging everything from what is we having for lunch today, to when is homecoming, to who's my fourth grade teacher, to everything that you can think of. And we just administratively and internally, we just looked at, you know, probably 50 to 75 different school websites across the country. And we started just seeing how easy is it to find these things. I mean, these are real questions that parents have. What's for lunch today? Who's my third grade teacher, right? And so we really found a lot of websites that were done very well. And of course, we found some ones that were not done as well, but we really tried to find, okay, what can we use in our website to build something that takes the best of the things that we found? And I think we've got a pretty good product. I'm excited to see what it ends up being. I know that CMS for Schools is the company that's working on it for us, and they're hopefully having a draft for us to be able to look at internally here in the coming days. I mean, we're that close, and I'm excited to launch it. I think that the messaging system that it has to be able to not only call people but be able to text, I think, is going to be important. I think families communicate a lot via text, and they don't always necessarily check their email. They don't always, have capabilities or a signal to check their voicemail, but oftentimes a text message real quickly to just be able to know this happened or this is going on, or a reminder to do this, I think is very important. So I'm excited about the communication that we'll be able to offer. And then, you know, I think that things like unifying the phone numbers. Okay, so we've now launched 608-649-HIVE. Okay, as the district phone number. And so that number that we'll be promoting throughout the course of this summer will be a one number that parents and people can remember, 649-HIVE, H-I-V-E, that they can call and then get to any building or any department from that number. And so now as a parent that might have children in multiple buildings, I no longer have to remember, well, what is the number for the primary school and what is the number for the high school and how do I contact food service or the athletic department? Those are different numbers. We no longer have that. And those numbers will still work if you've got them programmed in your phone. But I think being able to, again, unify the district and make it simpler for community and families to be able to reach out, having one number, I think, is going to be very important. So those two are some of the big things that we're really trying to do to promote cohesiveness and unity within our district.
We'll dial that number and then it'll go to prompts of which building you want and whatnot.
Yeah, so we've done some research on, you know, what is acceptable for people to get an automated system on. And studies that we've come across show that the vast majority of people do not want to be stuck into multi-levels of pressing one for this and two for that, and then get to another level and another level and another level. At some point, they just want to know who to talk to, and they want to talk to somebody. But most people are also okay with three or four prompts that take, you know, only 15 to 18 seconds to be able to rattle through. Once they know, press one for the high school, two for the intermediate school, three for the primary school, or four for the district office. And they know that. They can dial that number, press two immediately, get to the intermediate school, and they're right there. And sure, there will be some other prompts that they may encounter, but the goal is to be quick. The goal is to be efficient, to respect people's time, and to still always give them the option to press zero to speak to a live person. But we also know that people want to talk to the right person. They want to be able to get the information that they are seeking or get answers to the questions that they have. And so if we can quickly get them to the nurse's office to be able to ask a medical question, or the attendant secretary or the principal in just a couple of quick prompts, we feel that that's going to be very efficient and yet maintain that personal approach.
649-HIVE.
That is correct. 649-HIVE.
We'll remember it. It's easy to remember, right?
That's right. One hive.
Yeah, exactly. That's the easy part. 649 is probably
that it. Is true. Yeah, we were really hoping to get 608-1-HIVE, but unfortunately that number was not available for our area.
Okay, sounds good. You touched just briefly on lunch, and the summer lunch program is getting underway, right?
Yeah, we are well underway. Our food service department has been working diligently on providing meals for our families. You In the past, outside of COVID, we had had what we call a congregate setting. People were able to come. At one point, it was at Jefferson Elementary, and they were able to get breakfast and lunch, and then we moved it up to the high school when summer school moved to the high school. And that worked pretty well, and we were able to, service, anywhere from 50 to 65 students on any given day and provide them some meals through the USDA program at no charge. But we really wanted to reach more people. One of the things that we saw during the pandemic when the USDA allowed us to deliver meals to people and we were able to do meal deliveries that way is that we had, close to 800 families that were in need of meals, right? And we live in a lower economic area. And so meeting the needs of those students and nutritionally was important to us. And so we explored, is there a way that while they don't allow us to deliver meals anymore, could we take some of those components and reach more families? And so we have implemented a pickup process where on Mondays, twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays or Thursdays, depending on how the week is structured, families can come up to the high school and they can pick up meals for all of their kids for, up to 7 days at a time. And, a gallon of milk and breakfast and lunch and all of these things. And again, it's free of charge for any school age child, so 0 to 18, that reside in our district. It's free for them, and it's paid for by the USDA, and then we get reimbursed through the USDA, the government, for that. So right now, we are servicing over 560 students in our district, and that number continues to grow every week. And so Jody Pretch and her food service staff have been packaging up meals on a daily basis and getting these things ready to go out. And so, again, we're not at the 800 number where we're able to that we were during the pandemic when we were able to deliver, but reaching over 550 families, and again, that's continuing to grow. I anticipate that being at 600 just reemphasizes the fact that we need to really do everything that we can to help provide nutrition and meals to our families to help support them and alleviate some of the burden that they have on feeding their families and yet getting everybody a well-balanced and nutritious meal.
So they're packaged, put together here. Are they frozen then and then put together?
Combination of frozen and chilled. And so, when you get them, you'll have to put them in your refrigerator or freezer. But they range from everything from healthy snacks, some fruits and vegetables to, corn dogs or some frozen bagels or cinnamon sticks or some dry cereal and just a variety of different things that all meet the nutritional guidelines set up by the USDA.
Good deal.
It's a really good deal.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things that's happening this summer, and we talked about that, and I told you before we went on the air, it's hard to believe how fast it is going. I'm talking about football camp this week at Richland Center High School.
Yeah, it's like you just turn the page and all of a sudden all of the fall things are starting up with sport camps and super registration around the corner. And, we're in the middle of our hiring season, so we're trying to, fill up all of our positions. That's gone really, really well as well. So, our co-curriculars continue to improve. Our coaches are really top-notch. Our advisors are top-notch. I know that, wins and losses that we may have struggled a little bit in certain areas, but I think you're going to see some really good things coming from our co-curricular program as well, and this camp is one of those opportunities.
Absolutely. We'll have more from Richland Center District Administrator Steve Board when the morning show continues. We're talking about the Richland School District today on our morning show from WRCO, WRCE. District Administrator Steve Board is here. Steve, we wanted to talk about staff, and I think first off, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Pam Kintz.
Pam Kintz has been in our district for 50 years. She's been a choir choral director for our district, and she recently just announced that she would be retiring from teaching after 50 years. That's a 5-0, not a 1-5. 50 years of teaching. That's just incredible. She's brought so much value and passion and direction. Our choral department and our music department in general, but our choir program has been top-notch and envied by the state for decades, and she's just a huge part of it. And she told me recently that she had only missed 4 days of work in 50 years. So isn't that incredible? I mean, that's just unbelievable. The dedication and passion that she has. She said, she goes, and I didn't feel great every single day, but I came to work and I did my job. And it was just so refreshing. I can't even fathom what that's like to only miss 4 days over the course of 5 decades. That's incredible. So congratulations to Pam. She's certainly very deserving to be able to retire whenever she wants. We're going to miss her dearly. I know she'll still have some components. She'll be around. These are her kids. This is her baby. This is her passion. And I'm sure she'll be very supportive of Liz Niemeyer, who we recently hired to replace her. And we're excited for her, but also very gracious of all the work that Pam has put in over the years.
I will have her actually on the morning show on Friday. She's agreed to come in here and join us. We look forward to quizzing her a little bit about that. But one of the memories I have is how impressive is it at an athletic event when they sing the national anthem and it includes most of the members of the team sometimes, and you know, all kind of people from the student body, and it's always been so impressive.
Yeah, it sure is. And I coached for all those years, and of course, you know, you just have such an appreciation for the national anthem and our nation anyway. But when you come to a volunteer event and you've got, you know, up to 40 kids sometimes, you know, standing out there and come out of the stands and go down and sing the national anthem. And she's just always produced such a great product. And those kids have just given total respect and admiration to her. And boy, they just have done a great job. And any public performance I've ever witnessed, it's just, I'm truly amazed at what they've done.
Indeed. So they're having a retirement thing for her on Saturday
night. Yeah, I don't know all the details, but I know it'll be up at the high school at the West Commons, that she's going to be kind of having a retirement gathering and celebration of her, again, 50 years with the Richland School District. Truly incredible.
Indeed. Congratulations to her.
Absolutely.
We wanted to talk about the DOT grant, Steve.
Yeah, recently, and Dale Bender was a key component or advocate of helping us write this grant. He, along with some other people, but he was the primary person, helped us write a DOT. It's called the Transportation Alternatives Program. TAP grant is what it is. And he's been instrumental in helping us get the Safe Routes for Schools going, which included the pathway, the walkway that kind of goes from the intersection of Highway 80 and 14 down to the intermediate school along the highway there to provide a safe way for students to be able to get to to school, you know, and walk, a safe way to get there. And this TAP grant now allows us, it's a $64,000 grant, and that's going to allow us to pave in blacktop that pathway. So that's going to be just a tremendous resource, not only for our students walking to school, but also our entire community to be able to have an additional walking path and biking path along Highway 80 that they don't have to walk or ride their bike on the highway, that they can be next to the highway and have a really good quality walking and biking path that they'll be able to meet. So again, I just think it's incredible. I hope to have this worked on this fall so that we can have it up and going here in the next few months. But again, thanks to Dale Bender and helping to write that grant. And I just think that's going to be just a great enhancement for our rural school at the intermediate school.
And you'll be co-oping with Bethlehem Lutheran Academy this year?
That's correct. Our Community 4K program, we've talked about that a couple of different times, but our Community 4K program is a program. It's a private school, Bethlehem Lutheran Academy, which they bought the Rockbridge Elementary School. So they're located in Rockbridge, and they have partnered with a school where their 4K program will actually be under the jurisdiction of the Richland School District. They'll follow public school curriculum and those kinds of criteria, and they'll be doing that every day in the morning. And then in the afternoon, students can choose to continue to stay either for their parochial school and enrichment that they have with some religious components combined until about 3 o'clock. And then from about 3 until 5:30 or 6 in the evening, they've got a daycare that they provide as well. And so we've partnered with them to do the Community 4K site. There'll be an extension of our 4K program. And we think it's going to be a great partnership. And Dan Lewig has been wonderful to work with. And last night at the school board meeting, they had to dot the I's and cross the T's. We had established established what they call their attendance area. And so they had to say, this is the area that we're servicing, which is essentially the same as the Richland School District. There's maybe a couple of outliers that they've got signed up to attend. But we're excited about that opportunity to provide more supports for more families within our rural area.
Great opportunity for a family that has several siblings, maybe some school age or whatever. They can all be in the same location then, too.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So I think it's going to be great. I think, you look at schools like Mount Horeb and some of these other schools, all they have are community 4K sites. They've got them at a variety of different sites. Students can find the one that works for them the best, and public school will provide the transportation. So again, Bethlehem Lutheran Academy will provide, 4K and younger, and then some opportunities for religious components and daycare in the afternoon, and then we'll continue to service all of the 5K through seniors in the Richland School District in our current three buildings. And that's not to say we'll continue to have our early childhood and 4K program at the primary school as well.
Can you talk about after school? That's going to change a little bit this year too,
yes,
isn't it?
So another grant that we were awarded in total a $225,000 grant for multiple years for both the primary school and the intermediate school. It's the 21st Century Learning Community Grant, CCLC grant, is what we were awarded. And so this is an after-school enrichment program, kind of a glorified, I don't want to say daycare because it can go a little bit older in age, but servicing students from pre-K up through grade 6 at both the primary and the intermediate school, the respective grades. And after school, they are able to stay at those locations and get enrichment opportunities. And it may range from maybe they need some tutoring supports in a subject that maybe they're struggling with. We'll provide that. Some fun opportunities for them to be able to go out and play, maybe some board games, some reading opportunities. So kind of this combination of fun and yet structured after-school program. I think right now we have 115 students signed up to take advantage of this, which again is just incredible. And that will allow parents to then pick up their students, after their work schedule is arranged. Again, it's free of charge at this point. And we hope to continue to be able to promote that. If anybody has any questions, if they weren't able to get signed up or have questions about it, they can contact Amy Hardy at the primary school or Lisa Brown at the intermediate school for more information there. But again, that's our CCLC. We were awarded a grant to pay for some staffing and some transportation costs to be able to provide that opportunity for our school.
We wanted to touch on academics. You've recently had a chance to look at some of the numbers, and how does it look for the district, Steve?
Yeah, specifically referring to our advanced placement courses, or commonly known to our AP courses. We have, and we've pride ourselves on the number of AP courses that we offer for students. And the way an AP course works is it's an advanced course in a certain subject area, ranging from art or human geography to English to some science to calculus or whatever it might be. And the students are basically getting a college level course over the course of a high school year. And at the end of that, in May, early May, there's a couple of weeks where all students across the state and really the nation will take their AP test. And if students score, it's a 5, there are 5 points that you can be awarded on an AP test from 1 to 5. And if a student scores a 3 or higher, so a 3, a 4, or a 5, they have the opportunity to have that course count as college credit at a university. So if you and I were to take an AP biology course, and we were able to score high enough, let's just say we both get 4s, and you were going to the University of Stevens Point and I was going to the University of La Crosse, those schools would then give you your college credit for biology at Stevens Point and me the equivalent of biology at La Crosse. And so this is an opportunity for our students to get college credit or the equivalent of college credit going into college with, sometimes we've had students graduate with as many as close to 30 college credits when they graduate high school. And you think about, you know, that's basically moving, going into college as a sophomore, right? And so you think about the financial savings that that student has with tuition and the ability to just get a head start on all of their, you know, other like-aged students in college is just tremendous. So we recently, we have a variety, you know, 10, 12 different AP courses, and we recently got the results back. We had 60 students take 95 exams, and our average score was a 3, 2.9 to be exact. But 68%, so two-thirds of those students on those exams received a 3 or higher on their AP exam. So that 68% of our students received college credit for the AP exam that we had. We had several courses that received 100% of the students that took the exam received a 3 or higher. And we had one course in particular, our AP Human Geography, taught by Andrew Troxell. We've got great instructors across the board. I don't mean to single anyone out, but you know, he had 21 students take the exam. 95% of them passed the exam with a 3 or higher. The state average was in the 60s. And so for our students to have 95% all get college credit for that on the AP exam was just incredible. So our AP program is wonderful. We have a lot of opportunities for students to get college credit, and those advanced placement kids are able to take advantage of that. So just kudos to all of our AP teachers and instructors and the work that they put into to really get these kids an opportunity to earn college credit is remarkable.
Tremendous. Yeah, you mentioned it saves time, it saves money for that student. Does it also count for like a tech school as well?
In many cases, yeah. In many cases, if a school has the equivalent course that the student needs to take in many, many cases, and I would say in the 95% or higher range, those colleges are giving students those credits for it. There are some exceptions. You know, I don't believe like the Ivy League schools are giving, you know, students credit for AP courses. UW-Madison may accept, you know, with different criteria. Maybe you've got to receive a 4 or 5 instead of a 3 or higher. But the vast majority of colleges across the nation, including tech schools, are taking these AP tests as the equivalent. They've shown the knowledge and they're giving them college credit for it. And it's a wonderful way for students to get some college credit while they're still in high school.
We wanted to give an update. The retirement party for Pam Kintz is Saturday, I guess. 1 to 4 is what.
1 to 4 at the Richland Center High School in the West Commons.
In the West Commons.
There you go.
All right. We'll
Thank
be
you.
Back with a final word in a moment here on The Morning Show. Time to wrap up our conversation with District Administrator Steve Board of the Richland School District. Lots of positive things going on. Early on in the program, we talked about the goals that you were talking about, and I know you were kind of going off the top of your head, but you've had a chance to kind of regroup your thoughts.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, I should have wrote them down. I thought I could remember them all, but I didn't. So again, just kind of revisiting. So our school district last night ranked our top 4 goals for the 23-24 school year. And so our top goal that we'll be addressing this year will be making connections with students and addressing mental health, kind of really making sure that every student has that connection to an adult, that they're all welcomed and respected, and that we really promote a good positive atmosphere for our students. Number 2, as we talked about, was recruiting and retaining high quality staff. Number 3, this was the one I couldn't quite remember, but it was getting all of our students college and career ready. And so we talked a little bit about AP tests, and that's one of the goals about getting students prepared for college. But there are many more things to college and certainly career. We know that not all of our students go on to college, and we want to support the goals and dreams of every child that comes through the Richland School District, whether it's going to an Ivy League school or going to a state school, going to a tech school, taking over the family business, or going into the workforce. Whatever it might be, we want to support and celebrate that. And so getting our students college and career ready is a top priority for the school district. I recently had an opportunity to meet with a group of business leaders and community leaders at the AD German warehouse. And one of the things that was a very common theme by the business owners is we need students And we need people who are ready to be in the workforce that understand basic skills, and that's accountability, being able to follow basic rules, have a basic understanding of how to work and what's expected of them, what's acceptable work etiquette, those kinds of things. And so we're going to really be trying to work with community leaders and business leaders and trying to hone in on what makes a student coming out of high school career ready. And so a combination of college and career readiness will be that third goal. And then number four, we talked about just effective ways of supporting students, being consistent with discipline, being consistent with how we identify students that need intervention strategies, and not only identifying them, but then following through and making sure that we can get them the supports that they need before they fall too far behind. You think about reading and math, and they're both such building subjects, you know, right? You learn something and then you build on that, and you learn advanced topics and you build on that and you learn even advanced topics. So when students fall behind early on, it's really, really difficult for them to catch up in those areas. And so it's important for us as a district to make sure we're identifying students who are falling behind early on and then be able to quickly intervene and get them the supports that they need to get caught back up. And oftentimes that's all that needs to happen, but they can't fall through the cracks as well. So we really want to make sure we're focusing on that.
Do you have some online students still?
We do have still have our Richland Online Academy. Mm-hmm. We've drastically reduced the footprint that we'll be having on the online world next year. It's still going to be an option for a certain group of students, but it takes a special student to really be able to be successful in the online world. And so we've shifted some of the funds that we typically allocated for the ROA or the Richland Online Academy and shifted that over to the partner school, the alternative charter school that will be up and running. Kim Siefkes was recently hired to be our alternative education teacher down at the partner school. We accepted applications. They're going through the interview process, and we hope to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15 students this first year be part of that partner school down at what was known as East Hall. Now will be the Richland Center Partner School. We took over that building from the county in mid-June and have been in there. Our maintenance staff has been in there working diligently on getting everything up and going and ready to go. We're really, really excited about where that partner school is going to take certain group of students that just don't really work well in the traditional school, but yet have every component to be successful in life. And we're just excited about what that's going to offer as well.
Have you had a good response from the applicants that you've received so far?
Yeah, I think we had close to 20 that applied. Of course, you know, there's a lot of newness, you know, a lot of people are, I'm sure, you know, many of them were like, well, let's just see how the first year goes. And, you know, they really weren't ready to jump in, but we had a group of 20 people. And again, I think we've got about 13 of them targeted that we're going to be looking at for the first year. We want to have a high enough number to benefit as many students as we can, but we also want to have it to be low enough where, Kim and Sherry Johnson and our school district can make sure that those students can work through the hiccups. There's going to be hiccups this first year. We want to make sure that we can work through those in an effective and efficient manner, get them good partnerships with community folks and in the workforce, and allow them to have a really good, beneficial school. You know, somebody told me recently that we shouldn't use the word alternative school. It has a negative connotation that it's only for, you know, the lesser intelligent. And we are continuing to use that because it truly is an alternative form of education. But again, I just want to reiterate that this is not for students with high discipline issues. This is not a dumping ground for them. This is not for students that are just not intelligent enough to succeed in the regular classroom. This is for students who just don't quite learn best in the traditional model, that maybe are more of a hands-on approach, that really just need to be able to dive in and learn in that capacity on a project-based learning. That's what this school will be about, and we just expect it to continue to grow over the next couple of years, and we're really excited about its inaugural season.
It was determined that that those students can play WIA-sponsored sports, too.
Yeah, in fact, it was just kind of one of those things that kind of fell through the crack. At a recent school board meeting, we had signed our annual WIA contract for the Richland Center High School and the Richland Center Online Academy, and we were like, whoa, wait a second, we forgot about the partner school. And so that actually went back to the board last night, and they signed the contract for the partner school to also be able to join in co-curricular. So there will be just like Richland Center High School in-building student. They'll be able to participate in co-curriculars. They'll be able to attend our co-curricular events like dances and those kinds of things. They'll be able to participate in clubs if they want to be involved in that. And, of course, they'll be able to graduate with the rest of their classmates at Richland Center High School.
Do they start at the school and the high school in the morning and then over to the partner school? Or how does
only
work?
If they want to have breakfast. So they will be able to have breakfast up at the high school, and then they can walk or transport themselves down to again, what was known as East Hall, down to the partner school, or they can just start their day at the partner school, and that's where they'll start their school and just dive right into the learning that suits them best.
Okay. Coaches, you got most of them in place, do you, for the year?
We are working on getting our coaches in play. That's, you know, it's an ongoing struggle to try to get quality people to take over our co-curriculars. We value the opportunities that the co-curriculars offer, but Ms. Hugaby is in the process of getting our fall and winter head coaches assigned. We've got most of them filled, and then the next step is to have that person be involved in the hiring of their assistant coaches, and now we'll have some varsity assistants as well that was approved at the draft budget last night, and some of the co-curricular assignments will be posted, and we're just trying to fill all of those to, again, just give our students the best opportunity we can possibly give them.
You have some quality coaches there, and that's not easy. You don't see a lot of long-tenured coaches. You're Jerry Pettigrews anymore.
Yeah, Jerry just recently hung it up. He's the Pam Kintz of basketball. Yeah. But, you know, we've got some tremendous coaches. We've got some younger and experienced coaches that are learning but doing a great job as well. But, you know, some wonderful coaches. Brian Pauls was recently just selected to coach the All-Star game at the end of June here, so a great opportunity for him. You know, Andy Troxell was recently awarded a leadership award for his work that he's done in football. And we're just continuing to find good quality people to be teachers and coaches in our district.
Any thoughts of you coming back someday? Or
there are not thoughts of me coming back right now.
So, putting you on the spot. I want a morning show exclusive here.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I miss the relationships that I had. Every once in a while, I'll get in the gym and I'll get a chance to, you know, run through some things with some kids, and I enjoy that. But the time commitment that is required to be successful at the level that I would want to be successful at, I just don't have that time anymore. And even though I'm now giving up the business official job, I'm really looking forward to just really being the best district administrator I can possibly be, and that's where my focus will be.
Okay, sounds good. Well, good luck on a successful school year, and we'll try to have you back in August sometime.
That'd be great, Phil. I always appreciate it. Thank you.
Some things and some important dates to remember, and again, the registration coming up in
August. Super registration, yeah, in case we are after that date. It's August 8th. It will be from 1 to 7 at Richland Center High School. This will be, I believe, year 4. 5 years ago we started it. We had to take 1 year off due to the pandemic, but the first couple years we had a lot of those hiccups. Last year we just received so many compliments on how well it was run. People were able to get in and out of there very quickly. Our biggest hiccup last year was pictures. We believe we have that taken care of this year, so I think it'll be a pleasant experience. There'll be an email that will go out to all of our families towards the end of July, allowing the online registration process to happen, where families can start to fill out the forms online, update their emergency contacts, make sure that we've got your most recent email addresses and cell phone numbers if they want to receive those text messages that I talked about earlier, those kinds of things. That process will open up at the end of July. Super registration will be an opportunity for students to come in, get their picture taken, get their devices. If they have a device handed out to them, they can talk to the principals, they can talk to the food service, they can talk to the transportation in Cobison, talk to the nursing staff. A lot of opportunities to just be a one-stop shop for all of the students, regardless of what age they're in, to come to super registration on August 8th from 1 to 7 at Richland Center High School.
Always good stuff, Steve. Thanks for coming by today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
District Administrator Steve Board with the Richland School District on today's morning show.